I'm Glenn Elliott, lead pastor at Pantano Christian Church. Welcome to our podcast. In this series, we're continuing to look at the teaching of Jesus from the Gospel of Matthew. In chapter 10, we connect with the fact that Jesus sends us on mission. We, the church, continue his work. We're commissioned to do mission with, like, and for Jesus. Our task and our message is that of Jesus. We'll be treated as Jesus was treated. Some will welcome us while others will persecute us as we faithfully bring God's influence into our world. Get ready to open your mind and your heart to the sending and mission of Jesus.
Every day, more than 2 million people search the internet for God. For meaning, for hope. People in crisis, facing loneliness, addictions, suicide, domestic abuse, divorce, joblessness, hopelessness.
I became addicted to internet pornography.
Online gambling totally hooked me.
So I'm looking for love on the internet.
My husband was beating me. I had nowhere to turn.
I'm all alone. I have no family, no friends.
And when I got home, I had lost my job, and now I'm desperate.
I can't get thoughts of suicide out of my mind.
I'm searching for anything to fill the emptiness inside.
76 million Americans say they have no one they can confide in. With nowhere to turn, people in astonishing numbers worldwide are turning to the internet, trying to fill the emptiness inside.
No one is beyond the scope, the attention, and the love of our God. He knows our every need, and he deeply cares. And this is powerfully stated in a verse that's actually familiar with many Americans. And if it's familiar to you, I want you to hear it as if for the first time. And if it's for your first time, listen carefully. From John, the 3rd chapter. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. God's heart is wrecked by our pain and our suffering. Our hurt and the injustices that we experience do not go unnoticed by him. He sees when we're lost. When we're helpless, even when we're hopeless. He sees it all, and it affects him in a very deep and powerful way. And so God, seeing the condition of our lives, took the first step. He sent, and I want you to start listening to that word sent. He sent his Son into our world. To turn things around for us, to give us hope, to give us a power to live differently. He sent his very own Son, the scripture said, not to condemn us for all of our bad choices, but to save us from the sin that wants to destroy our lives and those around us. So God sent his Son, but he continues to engage with us with his love. He hasn't stopped actively loving us. But as we look around our world, we can honestly ask the question, where is God's love? How is he engaging? Because we see so much that's going wrong in our world that it's a fair thing to question, God, where are you in the midst of all this?
I can assure you that God does not want us to experience the suffering that we experience. He does not want this world to go to hell in a handbasket. But He's chosen a way to address that in a way that's powerful and unique and risky. We are His church. Church isn't an organization. Church isn't an institution. The church is the people of God who are following Jesus. We, His church, exist to carry out the mission of God to make a difference in this world. Our mission is to join with God to bring the kingdom of heaven to earth. Now, how does that actually work out? We describe it this way here at Pantano Christian Church. Here's how we live this out. It's very simple. Our mission is to love people to Jesus. That's how we join with God. That's how we bring the kingdom of heaven to earth. As we love people, as we express the love of God to people, our hope is that they will experience the very person of Jesus who will ultimately lead them to the very heart of God. And Jesus gives us really clear instructions about how we're to do this mission. We've been doing our study this year from the book of Matthew, the Gospel of Matthew. In Matthew's Gospel, as he records the life and the teachings of Jesus, he puts Jesus' teachings into five sections. We've already looked at two of those five sections, and today we're beginning to look at the third teaching section. It's actually found in Matthew chapter 10. And in Matthew chapter 10, what happens is his new disciples are being sent out on their very first mission. And before they go, Jesus gives them very clear instructions about what they're to do and how they're to go about it. That's why we're calling the series The Sending. And we're going to learn an incredible amount about how we live out our mission from the teachings that Jesus gave. But as we do this, not only do we want to learn about how to do it, we've got to make sure that we're engaged in mission. And my prayer is that over the next 5 weeks, we're going to not only understand the how, but we're going to discover the purpose, the mission that God has for us, and live it out. And right now, I want to ask God to lead us to that place of discovery, that place of commitment, that we would truly live out the mission that God has for each and every one of us. Father God, we don't want to just hear your instructions and say, oh, that's interesting. We want to live it. We want to join with you to bring your kingdom of hope and love and power, the very kingdom of heaven, into our world. And so, God, I pray that with each and every one of us over the next few weeks, that you would make it very clear to us the mission that you have for us. And that you would give us the courage to eliminate all the excuses and all the distractions, that we could truly engage with you and experience an unbelievable eternal purpose that's real now and will make a difference forever. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, before we get into the text, there's something we have to understand about God. It's always about God. And when we think about God and we think about His character, there's certain words that just pop up immediately. When we think about who is God, we think God is love. One of the most basic descriptions of who God is. Absolutely true. God is love. Or we might think of God is good. And that's really cool. When God is love and God is good, that means He always wants the best. He wants to lead us to the very best place possible. But there's another part of God that's huge and significant, and we almost never talk about it. We almost never identify God with this characteristic. It's core to who God is. Our God is a sending God. It is His nature to send people to engage this world to accomplish His mission. That is who God is. That is who He's always been. When we read the scripture from Genesis to Revelation, it is the story of God sending people to make a difference in their world. If you would be patient enough and your rear ends could handle it, I could for 2 hours relate to you all of the different people in the Bible that God sent. But let me give you a 1.5 minute summary. Okay, maybe 2 minutes. We start in Genesis. God sent Abraham to the promised land to birth a people that would become God's people. And through that people, God would reveal himself and make a difference in this world. Later, God sent Joseph to Egypt. But it didn't appear that way. Actually, what happened in the literal story was that Joseph's brothers, who were jealous, they sold Joseph into slavery. He was taken into Egypt. Now, because God was with him and because God was actually at work, he eventually becomes the prince of Egypt. And then later, because of a famine in Israel, his brothers come to Egypt to get food, and they discover their brother, Joseph, is the prince of Egypt. And then Joseph says a profound thing to his brothers once he reveals himself very clearly. He says, "You intended harm for me when you sold me into slavery. But God sent me here to provide for your well-being." They end up staying in Egypt and eventually become slaves in Egypt. And God hears the prayer of his people, and he meets Moses, and he sends Moses to Egypt to free his people. And that's exactly what Moses does through the power of God, and leads them ultimately to the very place that God had promised, the promised land. But while they were in the promised land, over and over and over again, they would ignore God, they would reject God, they would go their way instead of God's way. And so God would consistently send people, we call them prophets, to remind them. One of the great prophets is the prophet Jeremiah. God sent Jeremiah to present a message that was not popular. A message that if you continue to reject me, there are going to be dire consequences. He sent other great prophets like the prophet Isaiah. God encounters Isaiah and says, "Whom will I send? Who will speak for us?" And Isaiah says, "Here I am. Send me." Jump all the way to the New Testament. God sent John the Baptist to prepare the way for Jesus. And then, just as we already read, God sent his very own son into this world to show us his love and to have the best clear picture of who God is. He sent his son. And after Jesus was crucified, after he was resurrected, as he was ready to return to the Father, he says to his disciples before he actually leaves, he says, "Look, I'm not going to leave you alone. I will send to you the Holy Spirit, who will be with you to give you power and guide you." But that's not the end of the story of the sending. Because God sends you and I today to do his work. One of the last things that Jesus said to his disciples is found in John chapter 20, verse 21. He said, "As the Father sent me..." Think about that. "As the Father sent me, so I send you." Wow. We are to carry on the very mission that Jesus had. At the end of Matthew chapter 28, which we'll get to near the end of this year, Jesus says one of the last things he says before he returns to the Father is, "Go and make disciples." He's sending us to help others to know who Jesus is, to follow him, and to experience life to his full. Folks, God is counting on us. He has no other plan. There is no plan B. We are it. Pretty scary, huh? We're it. We are God's plan to bring his love, his truth, his grace, his hope into this world. We are responsible. He has sent us to accomplish His purposes. So He sends us to our family. Sends us to our neighbors. Sends us to the people we work with. Sends some of us to different parts of the world. And one of the things we need to wrestle with is the why. Why is God so passionate about sending all of us to make a difference in some way or another? What's the context of this? And we're going to be looking at Matthew chapter 10. We're actually going to start that next week. Because first we've got to look at the verses that set up why Jesus sends His disciples on mission. And that's at the very end of chapter 9. And I want us to turn there. That's what we're going to look at today. Matthew chapter 9, starting in verse 35. This is a great summary of Jesus' ministry on earth and what it's all about. Matthew chapter 9, verse 35. Jesus went through all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom, and healing every disease and sickness. Verse 36. When He saw the crowds, He had compassion on them, because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Then He said to His disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into the harvest field." Jesus saw the crowds. Just like in the video, we saw the crowds of people in the subway station and on the sidewalks. And he saw the crowds. But Jesus doesn't just see this mass of humanity. He looks past the mass of people and He sees real people with real needs. He sees the situation that they're in, the suffering, the pain. And the NIV that we just read, the version of the Bible says that Jesus had compassion on them. That word doesn't carry the meaning of the word in the original language. The Gospel of Matthew was originally written in the Greek language. And the word that's translated compassion is the word in Greek, I love this word, splachna. We need a word in English like that, splachna. The core root of that word, splachna, is our gut. It's our bowels. When Jesus saw the crowd, He was hit in the gut. It turned His stomach. It moved Him deeply. It affected Him. That's way deeper than just compassion. Why? Why was He moved so deeply? Well, Jesus uses here the analogy of shepherding. And very few of us have any experience shepherding, but it's not hard to understand this. As He saw the crowd, he uses the metaphor. It's like we're sheep, but there's no shepherd. And if you were out in the Judean wilderness and here's a flock of sheep and there is no shepherd, everybody understands that that flock of sheep is in great danger because there are wolves and predators. Now, Jesus is using the metaphor of shepherding, but He's talking about a spiritual reality. We are all in danger of the evil one. Satan's purpose in this world is to destroy us. We've all experienced that. We've seen it. We're like sheep without a shepherd. But I love how He described it. And the two words that are used here to describe the sheep, you and I, are words that also relate to animals. NIV translates, they were harassed. The word harassed in the original language describes an animal whose skin is being ripped off of them. These sheep, because there's no shepherd, they're prey to the evil one who is ripping open their lives, laying it bare. We all know people whose lives are being ripped up. Some of our lives have been ripped up. Ripped up by betrayal. Betrayal of a spouse, a close friend, a coworker, a boss. Just got a Facebook message from a friend who took a risk working with a guy, and the boss, who has significant means, has withheld payment to the point that he's now in financial disaster, and he's just going down, and now he's having to find some place just to sleep. Ripped up. Betrayed. Sometimes it's because of a health issue. Almost always, though, it's because of some kind of a relationship, a pain that comes through relationship, through injustice, through lies. And we've all been at those places where we've been emotionally raw. Think about the last time that you would describe your situation where I was just emotionally raw. My skin has just been ripped open. He saw the crowd. They were harassed. He uses another word. They were helpless. Helpless also describes an animal in the original language. It describes an animal whose leg is broken. So imagine if here's this flock of sheep and the wolf comes, the flock's going to scatter. But if you have a broken leg, you're dead meat. That's where we get the phrase. Helpless. No way to escape. And so much of our world is helpless to escape the destruction of the evil one when they don't have a Savior, a shepherd, Jesus. While that word describes a broken leg, it really describes our spiritual condition. We all, to some extent, are broken people. Because of the effects of sin, our own sin, the sin of others in our lives, we've all got aspects of our life that are broken. There are attitudes that we have that are just broken. There are beliefs that we hold on to that are wrong and broken. There are addictions in our lives that are powerful, that they continually reflect that brokenness that's within us. It's called sin. And in many cases, we are powerless to really change that. Not that we don't want to at times, but on our own, we're helpless. What Jesus is describing is a world, our world, that desperately needs a shepherd, that desperately needs Jesus. And He is relying on you and I to make the difference. Look, go back to the text, Matthew chapter 9. Look what he says in verse 37. I cannot find, there it is. The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Now he changes metaphors here. As he looked at the crowds, as he looked at the world of his day, as he looks at our world today, there is an incredible harvest. But there are not enough workers. When I first went to the Soviet Union as a missionary, at harvest time, the new believers said, there was this 2-week period where they said, none of us can do anything. We all have to go out to the collective farms to gather the harvest. I said, they dismissed these little kids out of school. Everybody went to the fields to collect the harvest. I said, why do you do that? They go, well, they don't have enough people to collect the harvest. And I said, how does that work? And they go, it works terrible because all the kids just trample down the harvest as they go out there on the fields. But I thought, that's exactly what Jesus is talking about. Here, all these fields, they're all ready for the harvest, and there are not enough people to collect the harvest. And the reality was in the old Soviet Union that over half the harvest every year was lost because there weren't the tools, the equipment, the people to gather the harvest. And that is our world. All around us are people who are harassed and helpless, and they do not have a shepherd. Now, some don't want a shepherd. Some don't know that they need a shepherd. And some know that they need something. There's a harvest. Tucson is ranked among some of the most unchurched cities in the U.S. We're in the top 10. One ranking has us at number 7. Unchurched, their definition, a legal, technical definition of unchurched means that they did surveys that these are folks that did not attend any kind of worship service for the last 6 months. We're ranked 7, maybe as high as 10, as unchurched in the United States. All around us. A research that was done not long ago said that on any given weekend here in Tucson, 15% of our population will go to any kind of church. 15%. That means 85% aren't. There is a harvest right here in our city. But Jesus reminds us, it takes workers. It takes people willing to be sent to speak for Jesus, to love people to Jesus. And then in verse 38, as he concludes, ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field. I love that verse. Do you realize that Jesus was asking his disciples over 2,000 years ago to pray for us? Do you ever think of it that way? It's exactly what he's doing. He's saying, pray to the Lord of the harvest. Pray to me for workers to go out in the harvest field. They were praying for us. And all through the centuries, followers of Jesus have been praying for us. And we are to pray that God would raise up people who would be faithful to him to represent him in their world. But as we pray that, think about that. It was true for the disciples a long time ago. It's true for us. We can't say, Lord, send somebody else, but not me. It always begins with us. Send me and raise up others who will go. Folks, a disciple, a follower of Jesus is a missionary. Now, when you hear missionary, don't think it means just having to go overseas. Here's the definition of mission. Mission comes from the Latin word, which means to send. When we're on mission, we are sent by somebody in authority to accomplish the purpose that he has for us. We are all on mission. Jesus has sent us into this world to accomplish his purposes, to bring his influence into this world. And if we're truly a follower of Jesus, we are on mission. And so we have to ask ourselves, what's my mission? To whom is God sending me? Dave and the band have come back out and they're going to lead us in a song. And this song's going to be kind of our theme song for this series. And I just want you to at least just stay seated and listen to the song. And at any point you want to join in, feel free. But I want you to really pay attention to the words and the power of this song. Dave, lead us, please.
Give my life away all for your kingdom's sake. Shine a light in the darkest place, in the name of Jesus.
Piece in that song says this: here am I will go. Send me out to make you known. There is hope for every soul. Send me out, send me out. Here I am, I will go. God has placed you around people, amongst people, in the midst of people who need a Savior. Maybe at work, it may be in your neighborhood, it may be a cause that He's put on your heart. There are people's lives being ripped up who have no power to overcome this destruction of sin in their lives on their own, who need help. And we have the message of love, the message of truth, not of judgment, not of condemnation, but of hope. Because there is hope in Jesus. He is the hope of this world. There is no other. And so He is sending us. And the question simply is, to whom, God, are you sending me to? That's the first question. And the second question is, will I go? will I actually go? Over the next 5 weeks, we're going to suggest some ways that you can be on mission for God. Oh, we're going to give you more opportunities than you can possibly engage in. The idea isn't to do it all. The idea is to ask sincerely of God, God, where do you want me to go? To whom do you want me to go? What is the cause that you're calling me to? How do I present you best in my world? And so each week we're going to share some of the different ways and ideas to do that. And first is maybe very, very close to home. Many of us, just under half of us here at Pantano, are a part of a life group. And one of the best ways to be on mission is not to do it on our own, but to do it with others. And I want to challenge our life groups, and those of you who are leading life groups, I want to challenge you to prayerfully as a group ask God, God, do you have a mission for our group? Now, that isn't always the case, but it could be, especially if you're willing to ask that. God, do you have something you want us as a group to engage in that will truly represent you, bring your presence into this world? Or maybe God's given you a very clear sense of what that mission is, but you're not a part of a life group. And so maybe the thing to do is to actually form a group that shares that same purpose and mission. And together you do that. And if you're at that place, I want to encourage you to not just sit on it, but act on it. And contact Cindy DeYoung, one of our pastors, who will help you figure out how to form that group and develop that. It's incredible when we're on mission together. When you came in, you got a card that talks about short-term missions. Matthew chapter 10, which we'll get into next week, is actually instructions to disciples on how to do their first short-term mission. And we've got a number of international short-term missions that are going on between now and the end of the year. We'll have a whole nother set for next year, but you can see on the card there. Maybe right now the prayer is you've sensed God saying, you know, you need to step out of the comfort of this culture and try something beyond this culture, and there's some opportunities. And all I would just ask you to do is pray, God, here I am. Where do you want me to go? Send me. And then also you'll notice on the other side of that card is the Cultural Intelligence Seminar. Coming up this week, a seminar that just helps us understand the uniqueness of cultures, how we can understand cultures, and how we can communicate well within those cultures. And folks, those different cultures aren't just internationally, they're right here in Tucson. How do we best understand people that are of different cultural backgrounds in order to communicate Jesus well in that context? Or you can be a missionary and never leave your home because of this wonderful invention called the internet. When you do an internet address, it begins with three letters, www, the World Wide Web. You can be a missionary without ever leaving your home because of the web. You can connect with people who are searching for hope and meaning, who need a Savior, whether they even fully realize that's what they need or not. Let me give you an example of this. There's an incredible woman named Sarah Coyner. And Sarah, who's an average person, in fact, what you'll see is a person with serious challenges in this life, is able to be an incredibly effective missionary. She's on mission with God right from her confines of her own home. Take a look at this video.
Sarah was born in April of 1976. At first, it wasn't obvious that she had any disabilities, but we found out when she was about a year old that she had cerebral palsy.
As a disabled person, I don't get out of the house much, so my opportunities to share my faith are very limited. When I heard about Global Media Outreach at my church, I wanted to be a part of it. I knew that this would be a good opportunity for me. I've wanted to go on mission trips and things, but I feel like that's pretty impossible. And thus, I felt unable to do part of what the Lord told us to do.
For me, it's a quiet marvel. when we hear the Lord say, go into the world, and we want with all of our hearts to do that, and that but we realize that I can't do that, that He says, oh, I have a way. I make a way.
Working with Global Media Outreach allows me to share the knowledge and experience I have as a Christian. It also allows me to pray for different people all over the world. I hear from someone who has either just gotten saved or has rededicated his life to the Lord most every day. I've started writing someone lately who seems very interested in knowing more. By that, I think he's pretty hungry for the Lord.
Getting a chance to see Sarah work as an online missionary was probably one of the most exciting and humbling experiences I've ever had. The things that she has to go through just to answer one email, it's amazing to me. But to see that she does it with such a willing spirit and a desire to reach the lost, she's doing what every Christian on the face of the earth should be doing, and that's sharing the good news of the gospel. She's being a witness for Jesus. She's taken what God's given her and said, let me use that to glorify Him. And so here she is, someone who can't even feed herself, giving out the bread of life to so many thousands of people.
Through my work with GMO, I have seen that God can use me and anyone else He wants to further His kingdom. And I like being useful. As disabled as I am, sometimes it feels like all I do is have others do for me. I don't feel like I give much back. GMO is definitely a place I can give back to the Lord.
It's awesome to me that He has called her and with the calling provided her the work.
Using a computer is something most people can do. Email is kind of an equalizer for me. Working with GMO allows me to be in touch with new believers from every part of the world.
My life may be very limited because of my disability, but through Global Media Outreach I can touch the world.
Sarah Coiners is a quadriplegic. And with a helmet and a bar on her helmet, using the internet, she is communicating the love of Christ to people all over the world. And we have a table in the lobby. You can find out about this. It's through a group called Global Media Outreach. Do we have the lower third for that URL there? Nope, don't have that either. There it is, globalmediaoutreach.com. That information will also be at the table. And there's just a myriad of ways that God provides for us to truly be on mission. And it's not for the lack of opportunities. It's all about whether we are looking like Jesus at the crowds and seeing people who are harassed and helpless and have no shepherd. And Jesus is calling each and every one of us to go. He's sending us to bring His love, His truth, His hope into our world. That's what we've been called to do. There are some of us here that are harassed. Our lives have been ripped open. We're helpless. We're so in touch with our brokenness right now. And maybe you've come to that place where you know, I need a shepherd. I need a Savior. I need Jesus. If you're at that place, I want to encourage you not to leave here without acting on that. After our service, our prayer partners will be here. If you need to talk to somebody you're sitting next to. Even if you don't know, I'm saying, you can't leave. I got to talk to you. Or even be more bold, say, God has sent you to this seat right now. Some of us will be at the connecting place. We would love to talk with you. If you sense that God is moving in your life right now, don't avoid it. Don't miss it. We're going to partake of communion. And if you're visiting with us, how we do it is in a moment we'll pass a communion tray that has a cup of juice and a piece of bread. You take that and pass that to the next person. But here's why we celebrate communion. And I use that word celebrate because the first thing we do is we celebrate that Jesus was sent into our lives, into our world. He sacrificed himself. That's what the bread and the juice represent. He gave himself up that we might have life. And so communion is this moment of incredible celebration and thanksgiving that God sent his very own son to us. But it's also a time of commitment. It's a time when we commit, here I am, Lord. To whom are you sending me? After communion, we take our offering. And our offering is a part of the experience of truly being a people who are sending. What I love about giving to God through this church is that we are focused on being sent and sending people into our city, into our world to make a difference. And that's what our giving is about. Sending into this world the hope of Jesus. Let's pray. Father, we are so grateful that you did not leave us to fend off the spiritual predators on our own. Thank you for sending us a shepherd, a savior. Thank you. And God, now I pray that your spirit would speak into each of our hearts. God, make it very clear the person, the people, the cause that you're sending us to. Here we are. Send us. In Jesus' name. Amen.